Welcome back to the Predators official season preview show. Adam Vingan alongside Max Herz and Willie Donick. Pete Weber will join the program in roughly 30 minutes. We had some great conversations with Andrew Brunette and Hal Gill in the first hour. But let's turn our attention toward the younger group, the younger section of this Predators roster, if you will. I crunched some numbers during the break. The Predators have four of their own first-round picks on the opening day roster, if you include Matthew Wood, who was injured. Brady Martin, Matthew Wood, Joachim Kemmel, Fedor Svechkov. The Predators have seven players, 25 or under, who are projected to be in the lineup tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Spencer Stastny, Adam Willsby, Justin Barron, Ozzie Weisblatt, Fedor Svechkov, Joachim Kemmel, or Luke Evangelista, we'll see, and Brady Martin, who is the youngest of the group at 18 years old. And yesterday, Willie, Derek, and I had Barry Trotz on DVD for our first weekly interview with the Predators GM, and he used some football terminology. We all love football around here, right? He used some football terminology to describe where he thought the youth of the roster is. Here is what Barry Trotz had to say.
We've got a lot of really talented young players, and I know you like your football like we all do. We have a lot of guys in the red zone right now with in our organization with young players. Now, being in the red zone, you know how that works. You're either, you're stalled out, you're taking a field goal, or you're getting a touchdown, and you're pushing it through. So that's where all these guys are. They're all in the red zone, in which, a little bit of luck, a lot of work, and some confidence and some good team play. Yeah, some guys are going to get to the next level here, and that's what we're looking for.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday on DVD. And guys, during the break, I looked back at the opening night lineup 1 year ago for the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars. It is a veteran-laden lineup, and there is so much turnover between last season's season opener and this season's season opener. Let me just list to you the players who started for the Predators in Game 1 last season who are no longer members of the organization. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Colton Sissons, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabro, Jeremy Lauzon, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. All of them.
How many
gone.
Is that?
Nyquist, let's see. Nyquist, Novak, Tomasino, Sissons, Jankowski, Fabro, Lauzon, Carrier, Shen, and Wedgwood. Ten.
Over half the skaters.
And I think
exactly half of the players, right?
Yes.
Over half of the skaters. Well, no, exactly half of the skaters.
You're asking me to do too much math, Willie. But
it's a bridge too far.
Yes. I look at the youth of this team, and I think when I'm looking at what I think is the most important aspect of this season, I know the Predators are going to try to get back into the playoff mix. They have a lot of ground to make up. They missed the playoffs last season by 28 points. But to me, it's about, to use the terms that Barry Trotz used, getting as many of those young players across the goal line for a touchdown. This team desperately needs young game breakers. And we'll see how many of those younger 25 and under players I listed become game breakers. Now, there are others, not with the organization, not with the big club right now, I mean, playing in other leagues and still developing. But to me, Max, the number one goal for me this season is to get as many of those young players over that proverbial goal line as you can.
Yeah, you need to find out who's for real and who deserves to be here, who deserves to stay here, and who's going to be here 10 more years, 15 more years. And not everybody's going to be able to prove that this year at age 18 for Brady Martin, at age 21 for Joachim Kemmel, at age 22 for Fedor Svechkov. But for someone like Svechkov, he told me today in an interview that you'll hear on the pregame show tomorrow as one of seven players who will have his first NHL opening night tomorrow. He said it's time for him to start paying his bills. That's what Fedor Svechkov says. He knows he's got a big opportunity with Steven Stamkos. In the glimpses we've had of those guys together, they've made some magic. The overtime goal for Stamkos last year from Svechkov really stands out in my mind as a glimpse into what those guys could do together. But all these guys are getting big opportunities. Brady Martin just being in the NHL is a big opportunity, but he's going to be on the top line to make his NHL debut with two big names. Fedor Svechkov is the second line center. He's going to play with Steven Stamkos. Ozzie Weisblatt is going to get consistent playing time, which even though he played in five NHL games last year, he didn't have. Same for Kimmel, who played just two games. He's going to play in the top six to start the season, it looks like. Then on the back end, Adam Willsby is healthy. He's going to play with Roman Josi. And the third pair is two of those 25 and under guys. I think guys with some upside who look fun together in Spencer Stastny and Justin Barron. So everybody's got their shot.
Willie, before you respond, may I make a request of the Predators game ops department, if any of you are listening, based on what Max just said? Was it Svechkov who said he's got to pay the bills? I would like to suggest that I know we love Tim McGraw around here, but Destiny's Child, bills for Svechkov.
No, we're not changing the goal song.
Well, maybe not for the goal song, but you could still work that in, right? If he gets a big hit or a nice pass.
Some teams allow their players to choose the goal song.
Or just have a little feature, like a little package of Svechkov highlights. You could have bills.
Okay.
Well, there's potential here.
I'll settle for that.
Okay.
I like Big Bill Donick better.
I would say
nobody calls him that.
Barry Trotz has his everything is riding. His plan all along, which he has said, is for this group of 18 to 21-year-olds. Now, he mentioned on our interview yesterday with him, we just played a clip of it, you know, he's got 11 first-round picks scattered around the globe. Some are here in Nashville. Quite a few will be in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's going to be a very young team. And then there's guys that are still playing in Europe somewhere that have not come over yet, like Igor Sorin a couple years ago. They really like where he could be in a couple years, but he's playing in the KHL. So I don't know how many of the 11 he has already in the red zone. Maybe some of them are on the 35. They like them all. But, Max, they're not all going to hit it big this year. I'm worried, though. I'm not worried. I'm wondering this year how much impact, how much production can they get from that group collectively? Because for this team to be a lot better, for this to work this year, they need something from some of these guys. Even if it's just like 2 or 3 weeks of, hey, this guy just gave him a lift for a couple weeks, or a guy later in the season who starts the year in Milwaukee. Maybe it's a guy like Tanner Molendijk. I don't know. I'm just throwing out an example. Or Matthew Wood, who got hurt, can give them a good, you know, young pair of legs that energizes them in the middle of the winter kind of thing.
Right. And the spots that were up for grabs and the spots that are currently being filled by these younger players and the guys who are recent NHL debutees, they are the premium spots. They are the spots where you can produce. If Philip Forsberg is at his best this year, and in training camp, he's looked pretty good. He's up to his old tricks. And if Brady Martin can distribute to Forsberg and make the right moves, then he's got a chance to pick up a lot of points in a short amount of time.
So there's the, what do they give them this year? And I'm not, you know, there's guys that I'm not going to panic if they don't do a whole lot this year. But in the next 2, 3, 4 years, that's where you need to see it from a lot of these guys for the Predators to be able to bridge this gap between, as Adam just kind of laid out the roster, you've got a lot of very young guys, and you've got a lot of guys in their 30s, and in a lot of cases mid-30s, that by the time these guys really hit their stride, those guys are either going to be gone or past their prime to where the young guys have to carry the roster. So they're in this interesting vortex, right? They don't want to break it all the way down and go through the 7 to 10 year rebuild that we're seeing is realistically the amount of time you've got to spend. If you're going to do a rebuild like the Sharks, the Blackhawks, we did the documentation of this, Adam. It takes 7 to 10 years to do that.
Was the average 8.5 years?
I think the average was 8.5.
Or yeah. If you're the Sabres, it just never ends.
Which right. is I mean, exactly it, what you have don't to do want it, right? to happen.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the worst case where you rebuild and the guys you pick with the high picks never gel and give you anything. Ray Ferraro on his podcast the other day was just talking about, too, with the teams like Vegas and Colorado and Dallas, the teams in the window, you know, you've got a 7 to 10 year window with that group. And those teams are depleting their farm systems. They don't have a lot of guys coming up through because they're trading those assets to continue to keep the window open. So the Predators are in between and trying to, as best they can, thread that needle. It's an interesting way that they've gone about it.
We'll take a break, come back, look at the Predators' schedule for the season that starts tomorrow night with opening night at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be getting ready for warm-ups in about 24 hours from right now as the Predators host the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night for opening night in Smashville. This is the Predators Season Preview Show with Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, and I'm Max Herz here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators Season Preview Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We got the Svechkov theme song. Does Svech know about Destiny's Child?
Probably not.
Come on.
But he's ready to pay his bills.
If this takes off, just know that it originated here. That's all I'm saying.
We'll give you full marks.
Thank you. I love full marks.
Svechkov just always gives us something new every day.
Yes.
It all has a quick
life. The white stick? What's the story about the white stick?
Well, so those of you who have seen a game this year, if you saw a preseason game or if you're getting ready to watch the first game on TV, you'll see it tomorrow. Fedor Svechkov's sticks this season are very distinct. They are all white, and they have holographic decals on them.
Yes.
And he told Ann Kimmel of Penalty Box Radio, who you will hear on this station in 2 hours, Wednesday nights at 8, she asked him why he got white sticks this season. And he said, I felt it in my soul that he needed a white stick.
Good enough for me.
Yeah.
That's our Svech. Yeah.
He will never cease to say interesting things.
And his English continues to get better.
Yes.
Not that he was really having much trouble expressing himself last season, but just get ready for even more if he plays well.
You always have to be prepared for something out of the ordinary that he's going to say. There are certain players, you know exactly what you're going to get. They're going to give you the, we got to get the puck behind the D, we got to work hard. You know, if you ask something specific, they'll give you a specific answer, but it's more predictable. Svechkov is one of the most unpredictable, in a good way, interviews that the Predators have had recently.
In my experience, the Russians are always good for that sort of thing. And the Russians that I've covered in my time, you know, some of them, like most hockey players, they might not say too much, but the ones that I've covered, the ones I've been around, they're always a riot. So Svechkov fits right in.
He's a fan favorite for a reason. Absolutely. Yeah, and he's sticking with number 40. By the way, that was just kind of a number that was assigned to him, and he's had it in Nashville and Milwaukee, and he's like, you know what? People bought the jersey. People know I'm 40. It's sticking with 40.
You could have a pretty good trivia contest of original numbers that some of the better Predators had before they switched to their number that we all remember them by.
Colton Sisson's number 84.
There's a good one there. Yeah. I think Ryan Ellis was 40-something, 48, I think. I think Mattias Ekholm was 42, if I'm not mistaken. Congratulations to Ekholm for another contract he just signed today.
He was indeed 42 before he was 14.
Yeah. Shea Weber, I think, had a different number than 6 when he first came up.
He had 48.
He also had 48. So Ellis and Weber, both 48?
I suppose so.
You haven't looked up Ellis to verify?
Well, if you just give me a minute. By the way, Ryan Ellis recently traded, too.
Not to play.
He was 49.
49.
Before he was
4. That's right.
Then he went to 94 during his brief time with the Flyers.
All right. Well, time to read some more numbers at you as we look at the Predators' schedule, which begins tomorrow night on home ice against the Blue Jackets. Opening night, 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. 2-game homestand to start the season. Saturday is the first Saturday night in Smashville. It is the Ice Age rivalry against the recently renamed Utah Mammoth.
I like that.
Saturday night at 7.
My son likes the movie Ice Age.
Yeah.
So
all 5 of them. How many are there?
Beats me.
I think there are at least 3.
They all run together as far as I'm concerned.
So 2-game homestand to start the season. Hope to see you in Smashville tomorrow night or Saturday night. And then as Hal Gill told us last segment, the bag chucker in chief, the godfather of Chuck. He's always worried about, when are we getting on the road? When are the boys getting together? And that first road trip is next week. Four games in Canada in 6 days. Three spots we only go to once a year, Willie, and we're going to see him early. In Ottawa, next Monday afternoon, that is Canadian Thanksgiving, Sens home opener at noon central on Monday. You'll hear it on 102.5 The Game all day. You'll watch it on TV as usual. It is Columbus Day, so it is a holiday for a lot of people in the U.S. as well. But Canadian Thanksgiving, Monday afternoon in Ottawa. Next Tuesday night, back-to-back in Toronto. Leafs will also be on a back-to-back those days. Next Thursday night in Montreal. And then two Saturdays from now in Winnipeg. Those are the first six games. Two at home, four on the road, against some pretty tough teams and some teams with high ceilings like the Blue Jackets and the Canadiens and the Mammoth, who are not proven but have some major rising potential.
That's a very interesting thing that I had not thought of until you just sort of laid them out there, where Columbus, Ottawa, Montreal for sure, and Utah. I think the Leafs are different. The Jets are obviously different at the tail end of that road trip. But four teams that have gone through a lot of rebuild. They have been patient. It's taken longer than they wanted it to. But they are all with that nucleus that they have kind of put their cap dollars behind and said, before they've had great success, we're going to roll with you guys. Ottawa got a taste of the playoffs last year. Montreal got a taste of the playoffs last year. Columbus was close. Utah was close, and they're trying to push to that next level. But these are intriguing teams, I think, for the Predators to face early in the season, because those are swing teams, and if you're going to have a rebound, these are the types of teams you have to have some success with. And Nashville was so poor against the Eastern Conference last year. I don't know what it was. They
bad on the
very,
road
very
general,
bad
too.
Against the East last year. They did much better within the division than they did in the East, and the Central's pretty tough.
For context, the Predators opened last season with 9 of their first 12 games at home. So they played 3 road games between October 10th, which was the season opener, at home against Dallas, through the beginning of November. So a lot of home cooking at the beginning of the season.
Too much.
And, yeah, I was about to say.
Which was felt at the time.
Yes. I remember Barry Trotz saying that, Andrew Burnett saying that. I'm sure players said that as well, that, hey, it's nice to be home, but it helps to mix it up a little bit. So the Predators are going to have the opposite this season with 4 of their first 6 games on the road.
Yeah, so those first 2 weeks, getting the big road trip to a place, to places that are important to a large portion of the roster and where every game will feel big. Sometimes Ottawa, it's not full. It's their home opener. It's Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And based on
that
them,
game will be full.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Winnipeg
probably
is a Saturday
night. I'm looking
night.
Forward to that because I think that might be the best atmosphere that I've ever seen for a Predators-Senators game in Ottawa. It's not even going to be close.
Right. There are usually some empty seats up there in the suburbs of Ottawa. That won't be the case. But then after that, it is still a lot of home games. 8 of the first 13 games are at home. So it is a lot of home games in the beginning. If that early long road trip can counteract the negatives of being home a lot at the beginning last year, you do have a chance to pick up some points, including that 5-game homestand in week 3, which starts on Tuesday night, October 21st, against the Ducks, who are the worst team of that group that'll come in, and then some big boys come. The Canucks, who are looking for a bounce-back year, the Kings and the Stars on a weekend back-to-back at Bridgestone in the final weekend of October, and then the Lightning to finish it up. So it's a tough schedule early in terms of quality of opponent.
Just to backtrack to something Willie said, the Predators were 9-19-4 last season against the Eastern Conference, including a 4-10-2 record against the Atlantic Division. 3 of the teams on that road trip, Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal, reside in the Atlantic Division.
But clearly, they have to do better than that against the East. I think the consensus still is that the West is deeper than the East.
Definitely.
But these are... I'd look at, you mentioned another team, Anaheim, that's on the docket fairly early here. That's another team that feels like it's time to start winning. They've gone through all of the hardship, and they picked in the top 10 something like 7 or 8 straight years. The days of Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf and all those teams that played the Predators nose-to-nose in those great playoff series, those guys are long gone, and they've gone through some very, very lean times. They want to win this year. Not all of them are going to. And like, who are you going to knock out? But that's the beauty of a parity league where everybody's got the same amount of dollars to spend. There's a lot of room for different pathways. The Predators are no different, but I think we're going to find out a lot about the Predators in this first month.
Two other big notes early on the schedule. 6 of the first 7 Saturday games are at home. 6 Saturdays in Smashville in October and November. Those need to be fortress games at Bridgestone Arena. We need massive crowds at those games, and the Preds need to win those games.
I don't know how you felt. Adam, I don't think you were at the game on Saturday. Max, you were. I thought I've been to a lot of those preseason games over the years, especially on an afternoon game where there's a lot of great college football on. I've seen some kind of meh crowd. I thought the crowd on Saturday was fantastic, especially given the fact this is a team coming off of a rough year last year. I thought the fans were awesome. I even thought the early preseason games, the doubleheader ones where it's a long day, and the Titans even played a home game
at the same
day,
time.
I thought the fan enthusiasm level and excitement at the preseason games was at a very, very high level in context with where they're at. So I'm encouraged about what we're going to see from the fans.
So 6 Saturday games at home in October and November, including a couple day games for the family, the first 2 Saturdays in November. And then in mid-November, the Preds will go to Stockholm, Sweden for the Global Series. Predators and Pittsburgh Penguins will play twice in Stockholm on Friday, November 14th. That game will be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Nashville time. Then again in Stockholm on Sunday, November 16th at 8 a.m. Nashville time. The Global Series, Predators and Penguins, an early highlight on the schedule, which starts tomorrow with opening night and year 27 as voice of the Preds for Pete Weber, who will join us when we come back on the Predators Season Preview Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators Season Preview Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are your radio home for Nashville Predators hockey. Wednesday nights are your night for the hockey block. Either Smashville Live or Preds Insiders at 6, the Predators official podcast, and Penalty Box Radio every Wednesday night starting at 6 for 3 hours, and hockey talk all the time.
Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love it.
We're back with the pregame show tomorrow night at 6, Preds and Blue Jackets opening night at 7, and the voice of the man you will hear on the call with Jay Moore on Preds Radio, the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, is here. Petey, thanks so much for joining us.
How could I not join you guys tonight with this special show? It's a very special show to get things going for the year. While other teams have already begun their schedules, the Predators begin theirs tomorrow against what, for a while, was a traditional divisional rival, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who did make it to town on a plane today in spite of the problems we've had with air traffic control here in Nashville.
Pete, by the way,
going to make sure of it.
You can remember the day. People who maybe are newer to town, because it's been a long time since Columbus was in the West, but that actually was the case. There was a time, and you can remember this, when the Predators played the Blue Jackets 8 times per season.
And that was just in the regular year. Then we had 2 preseason games.
So they got very familiar with one another during the course of the year. But remember when there was a sentiment, they put it in there, to say, let's spice up the division rivalries. And then they, after a while, a couple of years, they're like, this 8's a little too many. But remember Craig Leopold, the owner at the time, he was like, I kind of like playing the Blue Jackets because the Blue Jackets could not beat the Predators at that time.
Well, and they still regret coming into this town. I mean, in Nashville, their all-time record is 6-43-4. So you can kind of understand their viewpoint there.
Wow. Pretty good points percentage right there.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
All right, Pete, we're going to talk about you, which I know is not quite what you're here to do, but the 2025 Golden Hall Predators Hall of Fame class, going in as a duo, of course, you and Terry Crisp, will be going in at the game on November 1st. You guys were surprised by Pekka-Rinne. You got fitted for your gold jackets when he delivered the news. Congratulations. We are so excited for you. And it's less than a month away, you and Crispy going into the Golden Hall.
Well, thank you, Max. And I don't know if surprise says it all. I think shocked probably is a better a better approach to all of that. We were nonplussed, let's put it that way, when Pekka walked up behind us on the set during the gladiator shots and said, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" And he was wearing his gold jacket. So then he gave us the news. And, yeah, that is something special. And I'm glad that we are going to go in as an entry, as a duo. That's pretty much what we were from the night of the very first opening night against the Florida Panthers. When, how many years were Terry and I together on the television side or the simulcast side? 15 years. And that was going to be a one and off. Terry was just agreeing to come in as a favor to Jerry Helper, who put us together, to pay off maybe an old debt from the Tampa Bay Lightning days. I'm glad it turned out to be far longer than that.
Pete, do you anticipate having a swear jar on stage during Crispy's induction speech?
Well, I don't know if we can do a live tape delay, but that might be a good idea if we possibly could. I can tell you all sorts of stories about when tape delay did not work, and not just with Terry and me, but in my past. And it's kind of scary when you think about it, really. But no, I think Terry will be fine. The key for Terry is to know which mute button is his and not mine, because there were nights, like one night in Tampa Bay, where he's hitting what he thought was his mute button. It was mine, and what he was saying was actually going out on the air. So that's the scary stuff.
Pete Weber is with us going into the Golden Hall, and Golden Hall came to mind the other day for a different reason for me, Pete. I was getting ready to go over for the preseason finale there, and this clip comes up on randomly on Twitter of Glenn Hall for the Blues on a delayed penalty skating towards the bench, and the puck came to him, and he makes a pass. And it didn't even mention.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I read, and he passes to Terry Crisp for the St. Louis Blues when Crispy was a very young player with the expansion Blues. And Crispy, I gotta say, made a brilliant move. It was awesome.
Didn't he ever?
Silky
Don't sound
hand.
So shocked, Willie.
And then he was angry in the post-game dressing room in St. Louis because everybody was talking with Glenn Hall about the great pass, not Terry about the great finish.
Yes, he was. I was having a conversation about that with him in the Lexus Lounge before the game, and he said he was at one end of the locker room, and all the reporters were on the other end, where Glenn Hall was, and he was shouting, "Who scored the goal? Who scored the goal?" And he said none of the reporters came over to him. They continued to want to talk to Glenn Hall.
At the other end, speaking of that, who was the goaltending coach for Terry Crisp when they won the Stanley Cup in 89? One Glenn Hall.
Yeah, Glenn Hall, for those that are not hockey historians, one of the greatest goalies of all time. And Chris Mason always says this, Pete, I forget what the number is. It's over 500 consecutive starts. And Crispy adds
502.
Yes.
Without a mask.
Without a mask. Now, imagine explaining that to young players now or young kids saying, do you know that hockey goalies didn't used to wear masks? That would be something, if I were 8 or 9, I would have a hard time even believing. Like, you're lying. You're joking with me, right?
Yeah.
Hockey goalies didn't used to wear masks.
The thing is, go on to a Google search now and just type in the name Terry Sawchuk, and you will come up with, I think it was a Life magazine photo of Terry, who shows the peril of playing all those years without a mask. He finished his career wearing one for Toronto and Los Angeles, but you could see the stitches on his face that made you think, how in the heck did they even consider doing that?
Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, is our guest here on the Predators season preview show. Petey, we've been out at practice calling some preseason games, some fun moments in preseason. What are you looking forward to about this group?
I'm looking forward to seeing how the third line, which really has driven much of the training camp for the Predators, and well, maybe the terminology is wrong to say third line, but I love Bunting, Howla, and Marchessault. and how they have worked together, it seems almost like they were meant to be there, as if on the mountaintop after they handed the two tablets to Moses, or if you believe the version where it was put together by Mel Brooks, the three tablets, and Moses dropped one of them, that these guys were foreordained to be put together. They've done a fantastic job. And then Brady Martin, absolutely incredible youngster. And this is the latter-day version of Scott Hartnell making the club out of training camp as an 18-year-old. I mean, I just hope that Brady doesn't do the interview that Scott Hartnell did with us after he scores his first NHL goal.
That's one that probably won't air on any live pregame shows today.
No.
But if you want to hear that, just if you approach Pete somewhere, if you bump into him in Smashville, he can pull it up for you.
It's on my phone.
It was entertaining. It went out over the air when
yes,
Scott Hartnell was 18. He scored his first goal against the Boston Bruins.
And then when he got on the team bus in Boston afterward, some of his teammates were going, hey, could you explain to my kids what you were saying on the air?
Right. When you guys have your ceremony for the Golden Hall, Pete, will there be a reel of bloopers available?
You know, I should put that together, and I think I will, and I'll just have that one continuous thing on my phone.
Yeah.
And maybe I should put that, maybe I should find a way to monetize that, because that could make me rich beyond possible, any possible reward.
Right. We just have to put the, what do you call it, parental warning?
Viewer discretion.
Viewer
advised.
That's right.
NC-17. Yes.
As long as people know. It's not NC-17, but it is definitely not PG-13. It's somewhere in between.
No, it's not that. It's not that at all. But, you know, I think working with Crispy all those years, one of the most memorable nights, we were in New Jersey, and Terry is getting set to telestrate a play. And he is just furiously trying to telestrate, and it's not working. Until I pointed to him the fact that telestrator was to his right. He was trying to draw plays on the monitor in front of us. So things went much better after that.
Rookie. he figured it out. He figured it out eventually.
He did.
Well, Petey, we can't wait to hear your voice on the call for opening night, year 27 of Preds hockey tomorrow. And we are willing to wait because we have some business and some games to take care of before then. But we are really excited for November 1st when you and Terry Crisp will be this year's Predators Golden Hall class as Preds Hall of Famers. That's going to be an awesome day to celebrate you guys. And we know you will still call the game. And that's more important, but we're going to make sure that is a really important day to celebrate you and Crispy. So congratulations again.
Thank you. Remember the crazy way that we remember things in this league. Who leads the league in goals against average right now? Well, you have to take a Beatles song. She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Well, Arthur She Loves is the guy who leads the league with a goals against of .. as Jethro Bodine would say.
Or, as Brother Blutarski would say, 0.0.
Zero.
We're going to need a second zero for Arthur She Loves. All right, Petey, we'll see you at the rink tomorrow. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Looking forward to it, and thank you for having me on tonight.
That is the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, back on Preds Radio this year. He and Jay Moore will have the call for all the home games. Hal Gill and I will have the call for most of the road games. Pete will be on the road some as well as the season goes on here on Preds Radio. We got one more segment to preview the season here on the Predators Season Preview Show. We are going to catch up on some of your questions that were texted in. Still got time for a few more. You can text us your Preds questions, 615-737-1025. You can text us anything you got talking Preds before opening night tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Predators hosting the Blue Jackets tomorrow night at 7, then the Utah Mammoth Saturday night at 7 for the season opening 2-game homestand in Smashville. Back with more after this to wrap up the Predators Season Preview Show 2025 here on your radio home for Preds Hockey, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How much more comfortable do you think they are this year going into the second season?
They're really comfortable. You know, Willie, you probably are probably around the rink the most and get to talk to some of these guys. I mean, they're different people. Like, if you talk to Stammer will tell you he thought coming to Nashville, the easiest thing would have been the hockey part, you know, just playing the game and all that, and the move and all that would be more difficult. It was the polar opposite last year for him. It was so easy because we've got such a good job in such a friendly city, and our organization takes care of the players as well as we do. All the things regarding the family and the move to the city was almost seamless for him. It was the hockey part that, you know, put him in a little bit of a spin cycle. It was hard for him. He was a legacy player in a city. And what I'm hoping, and I we've had these discussions, is Stammer, it was a legacy player and left his stamp in Tampa Bay, and he's still got lots of gas in the tank. And what a great statement where we are with a lot of young guys like Stammer and Marchie and Brady to an extent, leave their mark in Nashville where they go, you know, at the end of their career, they said, man, I had a great career in Tampa Bay, and they'll probably someday maybe put a statue there. Who knows? But and then I went to Nashville and I got this young team going, and now they're competing every year for cups, and they got such a great core, and I had a big effect on that. I think that's where those guys are right now. I sure hope they are, and I feel that.
That was Barry Trotz with D Mace, Vingen, and Donick. I'm Vingen. That's Donick. He's Max Hurst.
I'm not D Mace, if anybody was wondering. My
what?
Catch radius is slightly smaller.
But as we wrap up the Predators season preview show, and the Predators open the regular season tomorrow night at home against the Columbus Blue Jackets, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. I thought those comments from Barry Trotz were interesting because the Predators, as I said at the beginning of the show, they have an uphill climb to get back into the playoff mix after missing the playoffs by 28 points last season. And I expect the team to bounce back because, quite frankly, they can't be as bad as they were last season. I am adamant about that. But if they are going to be competitive, if they are going to be, I believe the term that Barry Trotz used last season to describe what he hoped the Predators would be, is a threat to make the playoffs, a threat to get in there and make some noise. If the Predators are going to be a threat in the Western Conference this season, a lot of it hinges on the players who came in to much fanfare 1 year ago, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. And I don't know if the skeptical is the right word, but I'm trying to figure out exactly how much more those players can give. Steven Stamkos had, by goals per game last season, the second worst season of his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. Jonathan Marchessault saw his goal total, sliced directly in half, if I'm not mistaken, from 42 to 21. Brady Shea had a rough go of it as he adjusted from, as Hal described, that unique Carolina defensive system to the Predators' defensive system. The hope is for the Predators that now all of those players, they've got their bearings, they've been in Nashville for a year, maybe some of those hard feelings from their departures from their previous cities have subsided, that they will get the best version of those players. But those players they're older players. They're not necessarily in their prime anymore. So, Willie, when you look at those three players in particular, and we can start with Steven Stamkos because Barry Trotz was addressing Steven Stamkos in that clip. You know, what are realistic expectations for those three celebrated free agents from a year ago?
Well, I think you heard a theme that Barry Trotz hit and Andrew Brunette hit, is the buy-in of help us bring along these young guys that we think can be good. Like, for this team to be good, as we've talked about before, they need both. They have to have bounce-back years from those three guys. They've got to have bounce-back years from the three guys that everything has been built around, the three linchpins of the franchise, Saros, Forsberg, Yossi. But then if you take a look at how they're being utilized, Marchessault has got his own line. Forsberg and O'Reilly have got their own line. Stamkos is on a different line, right? And all of them have elements of youth that are sprinkled in there. So it's that blend, and that's what I heard Andrew Brunet say and Barry Trotz. They've talked about this, and Andrew Brunet has had talks with those players about that. So, Max, let me ask you about Marchessault, because there was so much fanfare last year. Marchessault, not shy to say, hey, I don't like how this is going. You know, I'm frustrated. We have to adjust, all of that. You had an interesting, for the podcast, I know you had a very good, in-depth conversation about what year one was like for him and where he is now. What did you get out of that?
Yeah, I think all three of these guys are motivated in a way that you could not just drop in to them artificially by last season. It takes a season like last season to get these guys to the point where they are right now, where they feel like they were embarrassed by it. They need to play significantly better and prove that they are what they were before last year and not what they were last year. And I think the biggest thing for Marchessault is I think his heart was out of it from the beginning last year, changing teams, going from a place where he had won so much and was such a fit and was so happy. And his mom passed away right at the beginning of the season last year. And
unexpectedly, right?
Yeah, and he was very public down the stretch of the season that really affected him. And I think it was obvious to us, Willie, those of us who travel with the team, who see every shift, that the things that he said at the end of last season, we probably could have come up with similar quotes for him the way it went. And I think the bounce back opportunity is not only necessitated by how bad last year went, but also I think it's a motivation that you could not create any other way.
That's interesting perspective. And I believe Marchessault had a comment during training camp, because remember, he had the most dissected quote at the end of season news conferences about Andrew Brunet and perhaps making some adjustments. And Marchessault said during training camp, again, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to recall this off the top of my head, that he wants Brunet to hold him more accountable this season. And I think that is a good thing. I think Brunet is going to be more comfortable as he knows these players now, holding them accountable in the ways that are best for them. Because not every player can be held accountable the same way.
Yeah.
Some players respond to having their ice time taken away. Some players don't respond to having their ice time taken away. Some players respond by having hard conversations. Some players don't respond by having hard conversations. So I think that will be good, because one of the issues I had with the Predators early last season, and Marchessault was sort of in my radar, was I thought that Brunet was not holding him accountable for not playing well. But I think all of these players may be more on the same page with their coach this season.
Well, I think if Marchessault can't give what he needs playing on a line that has been so good in camp with two veterans who he fits with well, and Michael Bunting and Erik Haula, and Marchessault and Haula are good buddies. They played together for 2 years on the Golden Knights. If that line can't get Marchessault to play the way he needs to play, then I think it is time to start exploring those things.
And we saw that line a lot in the preseason games. For what it's worth, and it is preseason, I've seen lines look good, and then 2 weeks into the season, they're gone. They never played together again. But Marchessault, in particular, looks like he's got a little more energy. He's got more feistiness.
Yeah.
He's an undrafted free agent who had to work past that, with that label, to become the player he's become. He didn't play like that, a hungry overachiever, undersized, showing you, hey, I've got grit, I got feistiness. Haula, I always remember John Hines called him a junkyard dog. He's got that, right? Bunting, no question, is going to be right in the middle of it. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But the three of them together, that's an interesting mix. I'm hoping that brings out the best in Marchessault, because last year he didn't find himself until it was way too late, right?
We'll find out tomorrow. Opening night, Predators and Blue Jackets, tomorrow night at 7 in Smashville. Thanks so much for listening to the Predators Season Preview Show. A brand new episode of the Predators Official Podcast is next, with defenseman Brady Shea joining the show.